Hi, I'm Dee, and I am a compulsive overeater here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And thank you so much for asking me to speak. It's an honor, and it's been a long time since I've shared my story. I've been in recovery for a while, but I have about I have a little over 90 days of abstinence. I'm a retread, so I came back to the program towards the end of last year, last September, and started with an F10 class, which was the first 10 days, and got involved with the Oklahoma City Intergroup, and it's been a real it's been a great start back into recovery to be with a group of people that are enthusiastic about the program and working the steps. And service. So they've been great examples to me, and it's been very helpful to me. But I'll just start. I'll tell you a little bit about my background. I'm the youngest of three kids. I was raised here in Tulsa to an engineer and a housewife who worked. She worked a little bit when I was growing up. Youngest of three kids, two older siblings that were quite a bit older. And nobody else in my family really has compulsive overeating. In my immediate family, in my extended family, we tend to have a little trouble with moderation. I would say there's a few people that are alcoholics or drug addicts. But of my own family and my little nuclear family, I was the only one, and it started really young for me. I don't really remember a time that I wasn't pretty focused on food, and so I went through the experience of being an obese kid in public schools with all the joy that that brings. And you know, I'd say I still have probably some scars and wounds from that experience. My weight really got out of hand when I hit puberty and went into junior high and had a lot of trouble adjusting to that. And my parents really tried to help. I don't think they understood my problem, but they, of course my mom brought the diets home for a while. I remember having one cut out and taped to the inside of our cabinet door, and then they sent me to a psychologist, which helped, a couple of different ones, and that was really helpful for me to go into counseling. And so the first time I lost a significant amount of weight, I was seeing a counselor who did hypnosis or relaxed listening, where he would make tapes, and I would go to his office and do the relaxed listening and just kind of really picturing myself thin and acting differently than what I normally did, making different choices around food. And that was really helpful. But I gained weight again as a young adult, lost it right before I got married, wanted and went down the aisle fairly slim. Unfortunately, that didn't last, and neither did the marriage. I was married for 11 years, but and that was when I was splitting up from my husband, and I have some other addictions, alcohol, and I have been addicted to different substances, pills or marijuana. When I was going through the divorce, it was I gained a whole lot of weight, and so that was kind of the worst point in my life. Kind of the lowest point was I weighed over 300 pounds. And I just didn't know where life was going to take me after that. Fortunately, it eventually at least took me into AA, and I started a meditation class. And the teacher of the meditation class here in Tulsa 12-stepped me into AA. And so that, I think the meditation, I have a little bit of ADHD, and have always been an overthinker, and meditation kind of gave me a little bit of freedom in my mind, and it was I'd never really had a relationship with a higher power, but I think that planted the seed for being able to accept that there were unseen things, that there were things that maybe I couldn't understand, but that I could still believe in. So I did join OA about a year into recovery after I'd stopped drinking, and went into CHOW for a while, lost a lot of weight with that. Then I guess it was 20, my dad died in 2012 and my mom died in 2017. And I let my abstinence go actually when I was with my mom as she was passing away, or wait. And I just since that time had not been able to really get very involved in recovery. I just sort of drifted away from it. And then the pandemic didn't help, although I did go to some Zoom meetings and phone meetings. But it just got to be, I just didn't feel comfortable in recovery after, I guess, kind of growing away from it. So gradually, I kind of started doubting that I was an alcoholic, and I started drinking again about 2 years ago when I went overseas to Spain. And, gradually my weight went up and my depression got worse. And that's why I was so grateful when on December 4th of last year, I woke up and had the gift of desperation. I had not intended, I was trying to control my drinking and hadn't been able to, and missed a day of work. And I just kind of decided that was it. But I went back to OA first, and this time I started in OA instead of AA. And I went to the early risers meeting for a couple of months before I got abstinent, because I just didn't think I wanted to stop drinking. I wasn't willing to do that. And but that day, December 4th, I just decided, okay, that's it. I'm going back, and I'm gonna do this thing. And I got a sponsor, started working the steps, and my abstinence hasn't been perfect. It has been I think because I'm stubborn, and it's like, even though I know I'm powerless over food, I haven't really wanted to surrender and give up control. I mean, even though I know I can't control my eating, and I never really have been able to, it still has been tough to give things up. But I am hanging in there, and I'm willing, and I've gradually gotten more willing to surrender. So it hasn't been a black and white thing for me this time. It's been kind of a gradual process of getting more willing and maybe just seeing things a little bit more clearly as some of the food fog lifted. See, I I when I was When I had relapsed, I definitely lost any contact with a higher power. I just really faded away, and I didn't think I would ever be able, I wasn't sure I was ever going to be able to get that back. Because with my concept of a higher power, it's something that I kind of initiate. My God is there, and when I ask for help from my higher power, it's always been there. But I can so easily forget to ask, forget anything, to turn towards a power greater than myself. And that's one of the greatest gifts of recovery to me, is that I have become willing again to try and to pray and to pause. One of my worst eating behaviors for me was what I've heard recently called the witching hour. I could do pretty well while I was busy during the day. And like at work, I have a job that for I'm fortunate that I really like, that I got about 5 years ago. I never thought I'd have a job that I loved. I just didn't think that was in the cards for me, but I got lucky. And so it's I, you know, when I'm involved in stuff and I'm not just focused on me, I do a little bit better. But then I would come home and I live alone. You know, still single. I should say I live alone except for two dogs and a cat. And so I was, I'm sure, lonely in the evening some, and I just would get into the habit of reading and eating. Not a big TV watcher, but I'm a kind of a compulsive reader. And so that has been, you know, I think some of the nights that I've gotten through without thinking too much about food or turning to food are just for me a miracle. To feel that freedom some evenings. And you know, I'll go to a meeting. I do read the literature. When I feel that urge, which certainly does come up, then I'm not great at outreach calls, I have to admit, but you know, I might text somebody, remember what somebody said in a meeting. That has really helped me where, you know, just going to the meetings and putting myself in the path of recovery. I mean, I've really not been at all. I haven't, you know, I mean, what do I want to say? I sometimes, I don't, I'm having a little imposter syndrome for some reason today, just nervous, I guess. I am definitely not an imposter compulsive overeater, and I'm just grateful for those moments of freedom that I do get. And I love going to the morning meeting. It really starts my day out right, and trying to learn how to think less about myself and more about others, which I would say when I first came into a 12-step group, I mean, that like the idea of volunteering for something was really foreign to me. Why would I work without getting paid? And now I have learned that you can find real satisfaction in contributing. So since I've really tried to put myself out there, I've volunteered for hospice. I went and I got my yoga teacher certification so that I can hopefully, after I retire, I really would like to volunteer as a yoga teacher in different areas, and maybe do it a little bit professionally too. But that's one of the things that recovery has taught me, is that I do have something to give. And I think that I've learned that instead of having to sort of hoard my energy or my time to myself, that it's kind of like love, that the more you give it away, the more you can experience it. I mean, I do have a limited amount of energy. I'm not saying I don't, but I don't come to the world as much from a place of lack. You know, I feel like I can kind of get in the flow of giving and loving and enjoying other people and not worrying quite as much about myself. And that may not have a lot to do with food, but for me, I've always kind of, or my tendency has been to hide in the food and to use it to protect myself. And with recovery, it is made me a little bit braver, you know, one day at a time, to be willing to take risks, you know, with my heart and with my time and with my energy. And so I still have a lot of times where I kind of back away from life and back away from the present moment and get lost in thought or lost in a book. And that's kind of what I'm working on the most now, is trying to get back into a more conscious way of living when I'm home alone. You know, it's easier when I'm out there doing stuff, but when I'm at home, sometimes I have just a hard time sitting with myself and my thoughts. And so I tend to, if I'm not escaping into food, then I want to escape into a book. And while I still need that time, I still need some downtime. I'm really trying to be more present and also listen to the self-talk that goes on in my head. That's one of my goals of this time in recovery, is to kind of give up some of the shame and the blame of, you know, why haven't I gotten this years ago? Or why do I keep repeating these same behaviors that I had in the past?
5 minutes left.
Thank you. And I think, you know, as long as I do kind of focus on what I don't have and what I'm not doing, that I keep myself small that way. And I'm a little tired of living small, I guess. I'm very grateful to have had, you know, really all the opportunities that I've had in life, because I know not everybody does. And but then I'll get frustrated with myself about, you're your own worst enemy. Why do you keep tripping yourself up? But I think that's human. And I'm trying to really love myself and be in today, because and not regret the past, or wish to shut, you know, I don't want to shut the door on it, but I want to go forward into my life and be a healthy version of myself. I've kind of joked that a lot of times in my life, I felt like I had this Eeyore energy. Just kind of, and I want to, I'm challenging that, I guess. I just think so much of what I tell myself in my head is how my life is going to end up. And that's not just about the food. It's about everything. So I'm really trying to envision, a healthy way of life for myself, and, a more energetic and outgoing lifestyle. And the program is there for me, just like my higher power is. And I've met some great women and men in the program, and I'm so grateful that Carla asked me to share my story. And I hope it's been okay. I've been a little nervous, and I'm kind of glad it's over, but thank you for asking me.